You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, all-knowledgeable. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is The Birth of Jesus, Part 1. In Luke chapter 2, we have an account of the birth and infancy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having had notice of his conception and of the birth and infancy of the forerunner in the former chapter, the first begotten is here brought into the world. My scripture is Luke 2, 1 through 20. My text is Luke 2, 7, which reads, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The fullness of time was now come, when God would send forth his son, made of a woman, and made under the law. And it was foretold that he should be born at Bethlehem." Now here we have an account of the time, place, and manner of it. The time when our Lord Jesus was born. Several things may be gathered out of these verses, which make known to us that it was the proper time. Number one, he was born at the time when the fourth monarchy was at its height, just when it was become more than any of the three before it, a universal monarchy. Monarchy meaning undivided rule or absolute sovereignty of a single by a single person. He was born in the days of Augustus Caesar, when the Roman Empire extended itself further than ever before or since, including Parthia one way and Britain another way, so that it was then called the empire of the whole earth. And here, that empire is called all the world, for there was scarcely any part of the civilized world but what was dependent on it. Now this was the time when the Messiah was to be born, according to Daniel's prophecy. In the days of these kings, the kings of the fourth monarchy, shall the Lord God of heaven set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. He was born when Judea was become a province of the empire and paying tribute to it, as appears evidently by this, that when all the Roman Empire was taxed, the Jews were taxed among the rest. Jerusalem was taken by Pompey, the Roman general, about 60 years before this, who granted the government of the church to Hyrcanus, but not the government of the state. By decrees, it was more and more reduced, till now at length it was quite subdued, for Judea was ruled by Cyrenius, the Roman governor of Syria. Now, just at this juncture, the Messiah was to be born, for so was dying Jacob's prophecy, that Shiloh should come when the authority was departed from Judah, and the lawgiver from between his feet. This was the first taxing that was made in Judea, the first badge of their servitude. Therefore now, Shiloh must come to set up his kingdom. There is another circumstance as to the time implied in this general enrollment of all the subjects of the empire, which is that there was now universal peace in the empire. The temple of Janus was now shut, which it never used to be if any walls were on foot. And now it was fit for the province, for the Prince of Peace to be born, in whose days swords shall be beaten into plowshares. The place where our Lord Jesus was born is very observable. He was born at Bethlehem, so it was foretold. The scribes so understood it, so did the common people. The name of the place was significant. Bethlehem signifies the house of bread, a proper place for him to be born, who is the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven. But that was not all. Bethlehem was the city of David, where he was born, and therefore there he must be born, who was the son of David. Now, when the Virgin Mary was with child, and near her time, Providence so ordered it that, by order from the emperor, all the subjects of the Roman Empire were to be taxed. That is, they were to give in their names to the proper officers, and they were to be registered and enrolled according to their families. It is supposed that which Augustus designed was either to gratify his pride in knowing the numbers of his people and proclaiming it to the world, or he did it in policy to strengthen his interests and make his government appear the more fearful. But Providence had another reach in it. All the world shall be at the tribute, at the trouble of being enrolled, only that Joseph and Mary may. This brought them up from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea, because they were of the stock and lineage of David. Bethlehem to be delivered there. Hereby the Virgin Mary was brought, great with child, to Bethlehem to be delivered there, according to the prediction, whereas she had designed to be in at Nazareth. See how man purposes and God disposes, and how Providence orders all things for the fulfilling of the scripture, and makes use of the projects men have for serving their own purposes quite beyond their intention to serve his. Hereby it appeared that Jesus Christ was of the seed of David, and for what brings his mother to Bethlehem now, but because she was of the stock and lineage of David. This was a material thing to be proved, and required such an authentic proof as this. Justin Martyr and Tertullian, two of the earliest advocates for the Christian religion, appeal to these rolls of records of the Roman Empire for the proof of Christ's being born of the house of David. Hereby, it appeared that he was made under the law, for he became a subject of the Roman Empire as soon as he was born, a servant of rulers. Many suppose that, being born during the time of the taxing, he was enrolled as well as his father and mother, that it might appear how he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Instead of having kings paying tribute to him when he came into the world, he was himself a tribute to a conqueror. He that makes darkness a swaddling band for the sea was himself wrapped in swaddling bands. The everlasting Father became a child of time. The Ancient of Days became an infant of a lifetime long. He was under some humiliations peculiar to himself. Number one, he was born at an inn. The son of David, that was the glory of his father's house, had no inheritance that he could command. No, not in the city of David. No, nor a friend that would accommodate his mother in distress with lodgings to be brought to bed in. Christ was born in an inn to make known that he came into the world, but to sojourn here for a while. and in, and to teach us to do likewise. An in receives all comers, and so does Christ. He hangs out the banner of love for his sign, and whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. Only, unlike other inns, he welcomes those that come without money and without price. All is on free cost. He was born in a stable, so some think the word signifies, which we translate, a manger, a place for cattle to stand to be fed in, because there was no room in the inn. And for want of conveniences, no, for want of necessities, he was laid in a manger instead of a cradle. Christ would hereby put a lack of respect upon all worldly glory and teach us to treat it as unimportant. Since his own received him not, let us not think it strange if they receive us not. Jesus came to this earth and was crucified on the cross for our sins, so that we may be reconnected to God and receive eternal life. Therefore, let us give our lives to him and be led by his Holy Spirit. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day. Happy New Year to all. And welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is God's love. The prison industry in America is big business, and some have called it the new Jim Crow. On a recent prison documentary, one of the inmates stated that she felt love and respect in prison that she never felt at home. She said that her father left home when she was young and that her mother was not around much. She said the pain of not feeling love drove her to the crack pipe, which took away her pain. Please understand that we can all endure a great deal of pain and what we call not fair life experiences when we know who loves us. Everybody wants to be loved. However, sometimes we do not receive the love we desire. Have you ever felt unloved? The pain of not feeling love sometimes drives us to make unwise decisions. Decisions like turning to illegal drugs, alcohol, abusive relationships, or other addictions that may not be in our best interest. However, be encouraged, my beloved, because there is good news. From Genesis to Revelation, from Earth's greatest tragedy to Earth's greatest triumph, the story of humanity's lowest depth and God's highest heights can be couched in the 25 beautiful words of John 3:16, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse is an alphabet of grace and a table of contents to the Christian hope. In this great verse, we see the highest statement of theology as it portrays God's nature as a God who loves deeply. It portrays the genius of soteriology as it shows how God planned to rescue mankind through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Millions of people read the verse, but only a handful trust it. Some believe it's too good to be true. Many people misunderstand God's attribute of love. God is love. Does not mean that everything is happy and sweet, or that God's love could not possibly allow punishment for sin. God's holiness and divine law demand that all sin be punished. However, God's love provided a plan of redemption and salvation for a lost world. By that plan, Jesus came from heaven to give his life as the final and perfect sacrifice for our sin. God is knocking at the door.